Take your Bibles, please, and let's turn to Proverbs chapter 15. And last time we left off with verse 9 of Proverbs 15, which says, "The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness." And we're focusing on that technical phrase, the way, because it's used both positively and negatively in the Proverbs. We're going to see it used in a positive way here in just a few moments to describe the way of the Lord. But here it's used negatively, the way of the wicked. And I want to spend a little bit of time highlighting the way of the wicked, because the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, brings out the way of the wicked in many different passages. If you look at the previous proverb, Proverb 14, you'll notice in verse 12, it says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of" what? "Death." That's a loaded term there, "seems right." Have you ever been in a situation where something seemed right and it wasn't? Oftentimes we face that in life, and many times it's inconsequential. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't hurt us in any way. It seemed like the right thing to do. I'll give you an instance this week. Jack called me and said, "Can you come over to the house? I've got a problem with my washing machine." And I said, "Sure." So I made my way over. And I'm a specialist when it comes to washing machines. Actually not. So I went over there. The floor was flooded. And I said, "Jack, what happened?" He said, "Well, we put a load in the washing machine, and I came back, and there was an inch of water in here." And he said, "I need you to help me figure out what's wrong with it." And I said, "All right." And I said, "Did you happen to see if the drain was pouring water out?" "Oh, no, it wasn't that. It's coming out from underneath the washing machine." So I felt all the hoses. They were dry. And, of course, the water underneath. And I said, "How old is the washing machine?" He said, "Oh, it may be 5 years old at the most." And I said, "Well, that'd be very odd if it's the washing machine. And more likely your drain is backing up." He said, "It wasn't backing up. It wasn't coming out that drain pipe." And so I said, "All I can tell you is call a repairman." He said, "Nobody will touch it. They told me they don't work on these washing machines anymore, LG variety." And I said, "Well, you know what that means?" I said, "It means a trip to Lowe's." And I said, "If you'll tell them that you want them to haul off the old machine, they will." So they did all the swap out, put a new washing machine in there, and put it in the drain, and a geyser came up out of the drain hose. And he said, "Oh, no." He said, "I told Todd that it wasn't coming out the drain line, but it was." So he calls me again. And he said, "Guess what?" He said, "We were wrong." I said, "We were wrong." I got thrown under the bus. That's okay, because I had asked him. I said, "Did you see any water coming out?" He said, "No." And he said, "What am I going to do?" And I said, "I will call Joey Cruz. He will come up here. He will auger out your drain line and get it all cleaned out for you." And I said, "You can enjoy your brand new washing machine with a cleaned out line." So I called Joe, and he was on I-10 at the time. And he said, "I'm coming back to Milton. I'll come right by there, and we'll see what we can do." So he pulled up there, and they got their little auger out there, little machine auger, and they cleaned it all out there. And got his thing. Now, we misdiagnosed the problem, right? The way seemed right to us, all right? I asked him specifically. There was no water in the tray either. That was what was odd. Usually when it bubbles up, it'll be up in the tray. It was dry as a cork leg, as Chris likes to say. Anybody know what a cork leg is? All right, never mind. I'll let you talk to him. He knows what it is. It was dry. It was just kind of odd. I didn't know how many hours had gone by since the backup, but I know the floor was just sopping wet. It seemed right that the washing machine was the problem, but it wasn't. It was the drain that was bad. Now, oftentimes in life, there are things that we make decisions and choices about that seem right. Right? There is a way that seemeth right, but the ends thereof are death. Now, a perfectly good washing machine ended up in Lowe's backyard, wherever they take them. Nothing wrong with it. It was the drain the whole time. I felt really bad. I apologized to her. I said, I thought after you told me you didn't see any water come up, it had to be your washing machine. And by the way, washing machines don't last very long anymore. You know, if you get 5 years out of one, you need to pat yourself on the back because they just don't make them like they used to. My wife and I had a washer and dryer that we bought when we got married, and it lasted for 20-something years. I mean, it just, and then the new ones, we've been just cycling in and out of them. They just don't last. But anyway, that's not an excuse. We messed up, all right? We didn't diagnose it right. There was a way that seemed right, but it was wrong. Now, what does that tell us? It tells us, Christian, that we need to weigh our ways. We need to consider things first. One of the things about our culture today is that we don't weigh consequences anymore. We don't think ahead. What is this going to do if we're wrong? Correct? What is it going to mean? That's why we need to pray for our president. We have got a massive buildup right now in the Middle East. We've got thousands of men and women on ships. We've got them at bases, Diego Garcia. They've got all these places. And if something seems right, it could be wrong. Right? And lives could be lost. We need to pray. There is a way that seemeth right. But sometimes the ways are death because we didn't weigh things out properly. Now, some things it doesn't matter, all right? If you go to a new restaurant and you don't like the restaurant, you say, well, that was a waste of money, all right? Well, you learned something. But it's not life-changing. It's not devastating. But when it comes to choices and decisions that have weight, you need to consider the consequences. Look over at chapter 16 for just a moment. Look at verse 25. It says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Does that sound familiar? Have you ever often wondered why the Bible repeats itself? You ever repeated yourself? Yeah, sometimes we forget that we said something and we repeat ourselves. But God never forgets. He repeats on purpose. There is a way that seems right. Two words, seems and right. Those are powerful words, are they not? What is the concept or idea behind the word seems? It looks like, right? What were you going to say, Lynn? I'm sorry. Appearance. It appears that it is going to be a right course of action. Now, in our sin-cursed world, there are a lot of things that seem right. Let me just share something that happened this week. Tucker Carlson, and I don't follow him very closely. He's kind of one of those rabid guys that I just don't trust him anymore. And he got taken big time. He accused a former prime minister of Israel of being an Epstein associate. And what he did is he saw a picture that had been posted up by a British reporter earlier this year showing Epstein and this former prime minister in a picture. Guess what the picture was? AI fake. Let me tell you something, folks. We're living in the days of the AI fake, which is going to lead us into the future with another fake Antichrist. Amen. All right? And it seemed like, I mean, you look at the picture and it's those two men and they must be associates. We jumped to conclusion. It seemed right. And he had to come on and apologize. He filmed it and he apologized. You don't see those too many often, but he apologized. He said, I was wrong to associate this man. Now, he got threatened with all kinds of lawsuits. And so he had to do that. His lawyer told him, you better get out there on social media and you better apologize because that was wrong and that's slanderous. There's a photography company right now that's been going through some major hits because one of the former leaders of that company was associated with Epstein. And now the accusations are that all the kids' pictures of school photography were sold to pedophiles and so forth like that. Now, it's not true. But social media grabbed it. And by the way, this company is taking a huge hit because of lies. We're going to deal with false narratives this morning in the morning worship service. Chapter 2 deals with it, about slanderous things that were being said about the Apostle Paul. There is a way that seems right, but the ways thereof are death. It causes destruction. May I just say something? Be careful what you post on social media. Before you click the enter button, make sure you've done your homework. People are getting caught over and over again about reposting stuff that are not true because we didn't do our homework. Yes, Mike.
Yep. Even though they may be skewed, fake, or otherwise,
yep.
And they post something and it hurts people.
Yeah. You know, people are often asked for their opinions. And wisdom says, if I don't know how I should respond, then say, I just don't know how to respond. Or I'll get back to you once I do my homework. I have to say that all the time. Somebody will ask me a question about a baseball rule. And I don't know the answer. And I say, I have to get back to you on that. I don't know what the answer is on that. If I go out and blurt out an answer and it's not right, guess who's going to be on the receiving end? After they went and bought a $350 bat. Okay? But you said. So I'm very careful. All right? I make sure I tell them the truth. I had a parent this week said, I just bought a 2 5-inch bat for 8U. I want to make sure I spent my money. I said, well, you should have called before, but I'll tell you, you're okay. Because I had just read the rules on UTRIP that they now allow up to 2 3/4 barrel bats. So they didn't waste their money. They'll be able to use it. But yesterday, a parent came up to me with a 2 5/8 barrel bat and said, I bought this for my T-baller. I said, I'm so sorry, but that's not a legal bat. What? It's not a legal bat. It's clearly printed out in our rules book. It's also on our website where it says those big barrel bats are not allowed for T-ball. And it said, fortunately, you can take that bat back and get you a correct one because it's brand new. It was still in the wrapper. So take it back, get your money back, and then get a 2 1/4 barrel bat. Now, rules change all the time. And so you have to do your homework. And Christian, we need to start doing our homework. People post things up from these people that they trust, they think, and they find out that it's error. Things posted about the Bible. Things posted about Israel. Things posted about the Lord's coming. They'll post things up because somebody told them this and somebody told them that, and so they're going to do it. That was the gospel truth because I trust so-and-so. Do your own homework. There is a way that seemeth right, but the ends thereof are death. Twice repeated in the Proverbs for a reason. Because the tendency of the human heart is not to do our homework. It's to assume. That's what is the idea behind seemeth in the Hebrew. We assume that it's right. Assumptions can be dangerous. Assumptions can be dangerous. I read not too long ago about a pond in Maine, and it was assumed that they can drive on it. You've heard about that. Well, about a truck that was driving out there on the pond, and they turned frozen ponds into a road to cut across so they can get to another neighborhood without having to go all the way or long way. Guess what? They didn't make it. Because the ice was too thin, And when the truck was going across, it broke through and it went right down. They were able to jump out just in time as the truck went bloop, 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 right to the back. They assumed that the ice was thick enough to drive a truck across. Assumptions can be wrong. Therefore, what should you do before you drive across a lake that's supposedly frozen? What should you do? You should do your homework. Do you want to lose a $50,000 truck like this guy did on an assumption? That truck's dead. Now, you can pull it up out of the water and drain it out, but guess what's down in the motor now that wasn't there before? Water! They got sucked in the intake. That motor's ruined. So, I'm belaboring the point here because this is the way of the wicked. This is part and parcel of the way. It seems right to them. It feels good to them. But the ways thereof are death. They're death. So, I want you to look up here on the screen. What I did is I went through, and these are not all of them, but just categories of thought about the way that seems right to the wicked. Deceitful worship. We saw this in verse 7. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to God. Now, what is the sacrifice? It's deceitful worship. I'm worshiping God. I'm being creative in my worship. But God says it's an abomination. It seems right to them. It seemed right to Cain to bring the first fruits of his labors and bring it to God and say, I'm worshiping you, I'm sacrificing unto you the first fruits of all this labor and so forth. I'm giving it to you, God. But it was wrong, and God rejected it. And he murdered his brother over it because of his anger, and then had to live the rest of his life with a seal on his head so people wouldn't kill him. How sad. The way seemed right to him, but it was the way of what? Death. Treacherous methods. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Now, their way that seems right to them is really treacherous. It's fraught with danger and deception. That's what treacherous means. It means to deceive and to hurt in the process, to be harmful. So treacherous methods, be careful. Be careful about the methods that you use. It may be totally acceptable within the culture and be absolutely foreign to the scriptures. Wrong-headed. Number 3, self-reliance and pride. Psalm 10, verse 4. In his pride, the wicked does not seek him. In all of his schemes, there is no God. One thing you can know about the wicked, God's not a factor in it. They're doing their own thing, their schemes, their plottings, their decision-making processes. And that's why we need to be careful that we just don't accept the world's philosophies and ways of doing things as being right. Because the Bible says, in the pride of the wicked, they don't seek him, and all of his schemes, there is no God. I've got to be careful. You know, capitalism is a good way of doing it. It gives independence and so forth. But can capitalism be corrupt too? Yes. Conservative, we use that word conservative. The conservative movement. Is the conservative movement always right? No. Be careful about who you listen to on the radio. You can become a parrot and just parrot everything that they're saying. Don't be a parrot, Christian. Weigh what they say. People used to just Rush Limbaugh everything. Rush. He knows everything like that. But, you know, there were things that he promoted that were wrong. That were wrong. Biblically. And so as a Christian, we say, I can accept this. That's good what he said over here, but what he said over here, that wasn't good. We have to be discerning, because there is a way that seemeth right, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. Schemes that do not include God. For unjust gain, the house of the wicked will be destroyed. Proverbs 14:11, that's in our previous proverb. that you find that. The house of the wicked will be destroyed. It looks like a beautiful place. How many of you have seen that mansion over in Pensacola that's being debated right now about whether it needs to be preserved? A lot of history behind that mansion. Beautiful old mansion that's been there for I don't know how many years. I think it was built in the early 1900s. And they're wanting to tear it down because it's in such bad condition. Now they've got historical societies that are all hollering, oh, we've got to save it, oh, we've got to save it. Well, they don't have any money to save it. But we got to save it. So we got this big battle that's going on over there. All right? Now that house is not livable right now. You wouldn't want to say, honey, we're buying that house. We're going to fix it up. You're going to have a miserable life until you get it fixed up. Because it doesn't have any power. The roof is rotted, falling in. The walls are in terrible condition. There's mold, mildew everywhere. You're going to get sick. All right? The house of the wicked has major structural problems. The house of the wicked has leaky roofs. The house of the wicked has walls that are eaten up with termites. That's what the Bible's saying there. It's going to be destroyed from within because that's what the house of the wicked does. Unjust gain is pictured there. Deceitful speech. The mouth of the wicked conceals what? Violence. They conceal it. They mask it. But what are they about? Destruction. Your destruction. We need to be careful. Just this past week over in Mobile, I don't know if you saw it in the news, about a man that said he was a pastor and he showed up at a church and he had weapons with him. This is over in Mobile. He said he was a pastor and they welcomed him. They were going to give him pulpit time because he said he was a pastor, but he was violent and they had to disarm him because he was going to shoot up the place. And one of the guys in there saw that he had a gun. They tackled him. He wasn't a pastor at all. He was a charlatan that was bent on destruction in that church. And thankfully a guy saw that he had a gun and they took him down. All right? We have to be careful. The mouth of the wicked conceals violence. And then finally, neglect of the needy. The wicked man wrings a city dry with his mouth. That's a translation of the KJV. In the city is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He wrings this city dry with his mouth. Oh, we can all give historical descriptions of leaders who have destroyed their cities because of their mouth. I can give you some American cities right now that are being destroyed by the mouths of their leaders. The mayor of Minneapolis. Every time he opens his mouth, he just syrupy nonsense that comes out. Their city has crime problems. Their city has economic problems. Their city is so welcoming. We welcome everybody, including the criminals and all. We're so welcoming. And everybody says, oh, how wonderful. I'm going to move to Minneapolis because it's such a wonderful place. But he's wringing the city dry. We could go through and look back at history of leaders that wrung their countries dry. How about Adolf Hitler? How about Mussolini? How about Pol Pot? That destroyed their countries. Lenin and Stalin. They destroyed their countries with their mouth. They wrung them dry. There are pastors that do that to their flocks. The pastor that I was made aware of this week, they posted it on Facebook. He's a president of a Christian school, a pastor of a church. His son was a pedophile and was arrested this past week. And guess who knew about this the whole time? The pastor. It was his boy. And his boy was a pedophile, and he was messing with the girls and the youth group and all this kind of stuff, and it came out. And the boy said, my dad knows all about it. He said, it's under the blood, son. It's under the blood. It wasn't under the blood. It was illegal. He should have picked up the phone and called the police. My son's involved in pedophilia. He's attacking the girls in our church, and I want him arrested immediately. Oh, no! Let's cover it up! He's my boy. It's under the blood. That is utter filth. It's filth. And you know how many times this happens? When we cover stuff up? Wringing a church dry because of sin and mouth, saying it's under the blood. That's a mockery of the truth of the Scriptures. So there is a way that seemeth right, but the ways thereof are death. So we need to be very, very careful when we consider the way. I want to move to verse 10 now as we continue in our study of this particular proverb, because there's so much good stuff in this thing, and it's Adonai speaking. Remember this. Adonai's name is mentioned 7 times in Proverbs 15, 8 times in Proverbs 16. Those two have to be put together. You have to understand they were written together. Remember, it was in 1227 that Bible verse numbers and chapters were included in the Bible. Before, it was just narrative. So they're not inspired. And sometimes we kind of mess things up and we take them in little bite-sized chunks, and they were intended to be put together in our thinking and our reading. Look at verse 10. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh. Now here's God's way, the way. He's not forsaking his own way. He's forsaking the way, God's way. And he that hateth reproof shall die. That is one of the most astounding proverbs that's given to us here, because it is loaded with truth. Correction. How many of you agree that correction is a good thing? All right, if I'm flying in a jet and the pilot's heading in the wrong direction, I'm supposed to be going to Miami and we're going toward Charlotte. Anybody agree that we need a little correction here? All right. I'll never forget Adam and I and Gregory. We went to down to Mexico to meet a missionary couple. And they had requested a meeting from us and wanted to show us their ministry and so forth like that. So we flew down to Corpus Christi. We're renting a car. And then our flight got diverted. We were supposed to go to Houston, catch another plane to go to Corpus Christi. But because there was a bad storm in Houston, the plane went to Corpus Christi, which was our ending destination. We went to the pilot and said, listen, we were supposed to land in Houston, catch another plane to come here to Corpus Christi. We're now in Corpus Christi. Can we get off the plane? And you know what the answer was?
No.
Nope. Now, we're sitting way out on the tarmac in our plane. And I said, please, I said, we are supposed to come to Corpus Christi. Our rental car is here in Corpus Christi. Who do we need to talk to? You're going to have to talk to Homeland Security. So the pilot, very graciously, put him on the mic, and we talked to him and said, listen, our final destination is Corpus Christi. We're here in Corpus Christi because of being rerouted because of the storm. And they said, we'll get back to you. We sat there for a whole hour on the tarmac, and we're getting closer and closer to takeoff time to go back to Houston, where we were going to have to catch another plane and fly back to Corpus Christi. All right? Anybody see where we're headed here? Finally, Homeland Security, TSA, said, we'll let y'all get off. So they sent a truck out to the tarmac. They unlocked the luggage area, and we had to rifle through to find our bags. All right? We found our bags. We pulled them out because they weren't going to do that. They locked up the aircraft. We got out, and they took us in the truck all the way back up to the terminal, and we went to our car rental place. We were early, obviously. And we had to wait for our car. But the Lord worked it out for us, that we didn't have to fly back to Houston and then fly back to Corpus Christi. The Lord worked that out for us. Yes.
You would have missed your flight.
I would have. We would have missed our flight. We explained all that to them, and that's what finally got them over the hurdle. Okay, we'll let you. They realized we weren't criminals. We were not bad people. All right. I've got my 12-year-old son with me. And so, yes. Right.
But every aircraft, they still lose bags. But all the bags have to be associated with the passenger, and that's the issue.
Yep.
If you get off, they want to make sure your bag goes with you.
Right.
That's their concern.
Yep.
They get a lot of things wrong, but that's
yep. And we had to show them that those bags were ours. We had to show our ID. This bag is mine. It's got my name on it and so forth like that. It was a long, drawn-out thing. We would have missed our flight and so forth. My point is this, all right? There was some correction needed, all right? Some correction needed. And if they'd have said, I'm sorry, we would have been on that plane and we would have flown to Houston and we would have waited for the next flight to Corpus Christi, which would be the next day. Because they didn't have multiple flights every day from Houston to Corpus Christi. This is a small city. Now, God worked all of that out, and He made the corrections, and we were able to stay there in Corpus Christi, get our rental car, and drive to the border. Now, correction is a good thing. And sometimes it can be painful and hurtful. Correction. You break an arm. There's a correction that's needed. We need to reset that bone. I've seen some awful breaks through my years in soccer, baseball, where somebody broke their leg and a bone would be sticking out. I had a coach that we were playing a pickup soccer game with the coaches, and big old guy, and he fell down to the ground, broke his leg, and his bone was sticking out of his skin. It was horrendous to see. We called the ambulance, we got him to Pensacola, and they had to reset him, and he hollered the whole time because it was painful. Horrendous. We had a little boy on 14U. Same thing happened to him. Bone sticking out of the skin. We had to cover it up. It was so grotesque looking. He needed a correction, though. There was not going to be a dad saying, suck it up, son. Don't be hollering and crying, son. He needed a correction. They had to perform surgery to reset the bones in order for it to be repaired where he would be fixed and be able to play soccer again the next year because he couldn't play that year. Correction is a good thing. The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth. That's what the Bible's all about, correction. Because we need it. There's not a human being on this earth that doesn't need correction. I don't care how many years you've been walking with God. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how many degrees you have behind your name. We all need correction. And when we foolishly say, we don't need that, there are some things in the Bible we just don't need, you're absolutely wrong. And you're wrong-headed to think that way. Because somehow in your mind you think you're beyond correction. And not one of us is beyond correction. I find that every time I study my Bible, that I'm being corrected. There are things in my life that need to be changed, and the Word exposes it. It's like a siren that goes off. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Correction. Correction needed. Yeah, but Lord, I've been saved for 40 years. Oh, God's impressed with that. You think God's impressed with that? You've been His child for 40 years. No, son, you need correction. You need correction. Correction, we're told in verse 10, is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. The way being God's way, God's word. You get away from it. You don't study the Bible like you should. You get away from it. You only open your Bible on church on Sunday. The rest of the week's just on its own. You don't study the word of God. What have you done? You're forsaking the way. And when correction comes, that's grievous. Oh, why? I don't understand why the hand of God is heavy against me. Well, you've forsaken His way. He's trying to get you back to His way. Correction is grievous. And he that hateth reproof shall die. You know, there are things that happen in life that God brings about this radical moment that happens. You realize that you made a wrong decision. I remember years and years ago, there was a man in our church that bought an electrical company. He had taken his retirement and he bought this electrical company and he was going to run that business, but he partnered with someone who was less than honest. and he lost everything to this dishonest partner. And it was something that caused great anger and angst in this man's life. But he had gone against some wisdom. Somebody had told him about this fella. And his response was, "I've known him for years. He'll never do this to me." That was his response. I'm sure we've all said that. "I know this person. They would never do that to me." But he did. And he lost thousands of dollars in the process. The company never got off the ground. And he lost some of his retirement as a result of that. Because someone had said to him, "Hey, you better be careful about this guy. I've had some experiences with him, and he's not honest. He's not honest." "Oh, no! No! I know this guy. He'll never do this to me." Now, there was a note of correction and reproof there. "Be careful about this guy. Not listening. I'm going to do it my way. He won't do it to me." And it was done to him, and there was pain inflicted because of that. Do you know how often this kind of scenario plays out in the world? It plays out all the time. And warnings are given, and warnings go unheeded. Because persons think, "It couldn't happen to me. I'm too savvy." Very high regard for oneself and one's abilities. And yet a warning was given. And instead of taking that warning, we rely on our savvy that we think is immutable. It's uncorrectable because I'm always right. And then the disaster comes and you have no one to blame but yourself. God speaks to this attitude in our hearts and lives. The time, the way is referring to the way of Adonai this time. This is a warning and an opportunity to get on the right way. Get on the right road. Have you ever gone down the road and realized you were going in the wrong direction? Boy, that's happened to me so many times where I thought I was going somewhere. I thought I remembered, you know, the way to get to somebody's house. And then I realized I'm on the wrong road. I'm going the exact opposite direction. And then you have to bite your pride. Okay? Back in the old days, it used to be, "Honey, shouldn't we consult a map?" But I grew up, and most of you are old enough to remember the old fold-out maps. All right? And we would sit down as a family, and Dad would show us, "This is where we're going." And he'd have the map of Georgia. And Dad was going to visit all the waterfalls of Georgia. And we did. We went to every one of them, Amicalola, and we went to all the different ones, Toccoa Falls, and went to all those different places and so forth like that. And there were times where we got turned around the wrong direction. And I would hear my mom say, "Phil, don't you think we need to consult the map?" Now, when you unfolded a map in the truck that we had, my dad had an old C10 Chevy truck. When you unfolded the map, it touched one window and went all the way to the other. Have you ever tried to do that and drive at the same time? Now, my dad was always moving. My dad never slowed down. He was always moving. And he was going to drive with the map out or with the map in. And we were trying to find our location. And finally, the map got thrown down to the floor. We're just going to figure it out. Okay, and I can say this because I have my dad in me. I've done this. I've had to say, "I think we're lost." You know what that means for a man to say that? "I think we're lost." Now, in these days, who do we blame? GPS, right? GPS got it wrong! And sometimes it does. But I'm going to tell you something. GPS now is not what it was 20 years ago. I can remember GPS taking down. We were with a group traveling up in North Carolina, and we got turned around, and we were down there with stills and moonshiners and everything else running dirt road till we finally made it to I-40, and got on the right road. Well, we were driving all over the place, and GPS was telling us, turn here, turn there. And we were in the wrong place. And we were scared. We were waiting for someone to show up with a musket. That's how far back we were. We had people that were living in another generation. Scary. But now it's hard to blame GPS now, because GPS pretty much gets it right. Unless you live at the O'Pagers house.
Right?
Yeah. Have you ever thought about paying a company to list your thing on GPS?
Well, I talked to Google, you know, I text Google and told them that that entrance is wrong, but nothing happens.
Again, correction is grievous.
I'm going to put a sign there that says, yeah, this is not...
Google wouldn't listen. Yeah, Google wouldn't listen. You know, there are things that arise and we realize we need correction. But for the fool and for the wicked, correction is not on their horizon, because they've got it already. They know everything that you need to know. May God help us today to allow His Word to map out the way. Not the way that seemeth right unto us, but God's way. That's the wise course. That's the wise way to go. And we'll pick up with this, Lord willing, next time. Father, we thank You so much for Your blessed Word. We thank You for the testimony of Proverbs 15, and what a blessing it is to us. It helps us to understand what course is wrong and what course is right. And I pray that You'd encourage Your saints, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.